right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the AC Green Show podcast. I'm going to talk about books. Yeah, learning, how your kids are going to learn. Going back to school. Remote learning. In-class learning. Yeah, learning. Hey, I got Jerima Gorham on the line with me. Hey, Jerima, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you, AC?
Very good. Welcome to an episode, my episode with you, yes. The AC Green Show podcast. It's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's do it. So tell everybody who you are and what you do and why you do what you do.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jerima Gorham. I'm an educator, a mother. I am also a community organizer, and I have a nonprofit, which I'm the executive director of, called Burst Into Books. And our organization is rooted in providing family and educational programming on primarily the south side of Chicago.
Yep. On the south side of Chicago. Yep. All right. So you're dealing in, some areas where a lot of folks don't want to go there. You're talking about the greatest potential where there are single parent households. You're talking about crime in many cases. You're talking about children at risk. You're talking about, in many cases, malnourished. You're talking about, underserved communities. So what makes you want to go into the heart of hell in some cases to help those that need the help the most?
You know, even all those things you just list is because of lack of resources and access. And so each of those communities, like I live my whole life in Arvin Gresham, I work in Pullman, my building's in Roseland. I purposely pick those areas because those families are ready. They're looking for opportunities. They're looking for ways to provide a better outcome for their children. And a lot of it is that because organizations and resources aren't coming to those areas, we just see repeated cycles. And so where I have my book clubs and we're doing a book club, but all those things that you're mentioning, we are targeting. So we're making sure there's food at each book club. We have guest authors that come. We have free books for them to build their home libraries. At the end of the day, these families are not in these divested communities because it's by choice. It's because if you look around in those areas, businesses and organizations aren't choosing to come into those areas.
Yeah. So what has prepared you for this kind of work?
I really believe it's just, first of all, my love for God. Also, me just having a heart for people. And I just understand at the root of it, everyone has a story. So our tagline for Burst Into Books is remixing the narrative. So this idea that people of color do not care about reading, do not care about a holistic village mentality, I just believe it's not true because I see it within my small microcosm of a classroom and I'm able to pull that out and bring it into a neighborhood. And so I just believe that if you are for the people, you have a relationship with them, they're definitely going to be invested in what you bring to their families.
Well, I get that you said your love for God, and that's a big deal. And you have a heart for people, but something had to equip you to go into these underserved communities. I mean, how were you raised? What is it that makes you able to communicate and then want to place yourself? You know, there are some people that's not going to move out of their suburban home into the heart of Roseland. Yep. And I'm not saying that that's what you did, but I'm just saying, why would you subject yourself to that? That is obviously not comfortable unless it is comfortable to you.
You know, because it's all about relationships. So yes, I grew up in, my parents were married, but they're divorced now. And I know that my opportunities and the things that I have is just because of the people that were in my life. And so I have a great relationship with my mom and father. And so I don't have this story of like dysfunction within my home. However, I do see around me and my friends and in my community what happened when you live on the same block, but yet you're not maybe awarded the same opportunities and access. And so I know that for me, that even though I have an opportunity to do a lot of things, even for my own son, that does not mean that I shouldn't care about my neighbor as well, right? Because at the end of the day, me not caring about them, I could have this idea that, hey, as long as my family good, we're good. But actually, no, if the family next to me isn't good either, because guess what? Their frustration and their unhappiness is going to somehow find its way in my home. And so I think a lot of times in our neighborhoods, we have this idea, like, let me make sure my kids are in a good school, make sure they're in a good program. But also, if around you, there's no businesses, there's no high quality education, there's no resources, they're going to go looking for it, and they're going to go into those spaces where there is, and that could be possibly your home. So at the end of the day, I think it's important that we have this idea that, yeah, I have it, but it should bother me that the person next to me doesn't have it. And so I believe just a heart for people, again, like having relationships and understanding that I'm just an opportunity difference between the person next to me that I feel like should be in a better space. Maybe they just weren't awarded that opportunity.
Okay. So now you're dealing with the whole political and social concern with regards to, and health concern with regards to the children going into a classroom or studying at home. So in these particular communities, the disadvantage of not going into a classroom is, you know, the only family-like socialization in some cases that's holistic is in a classroom as opposed to at home. I'm not saying in every case, but in a lot of cases, the school makes a big difference in a child's life when you're in underserved communities. Now, how are you dealing with that in terms of talking to parents and consulting with parents and suggesting to parents? And then what are the parents in these areas thinking? Are they thinking it's better for them to, you know, educate their child at home, or do they want them to go back to school in a classroom?
So many of these parents are, you know, torn, because I think then you start talking about all the other factors that impact these communities. So just like every other parent, parents within the Roseland, Auburn Gresham, Pullman community don't want their children to get sick, right? They don't want their children be in situations that could put them in harm. However, they also are in positions themselves as adults in which I'm an essential worker, right? Or I work a job that's hourly. And so who, if they don't go to school, is going to watch my child? That's another concern for their child. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of the conversations I'm having with these families are, you know, I feel like I'm in a rock and a hard place. Like, either way I go, like, I can have this opportunity for my child to stay home, which I think is best, but then who's going to make sure we get money in the house, right? And I just think that there's so many different factors that impact those kind of decisions for these communities. And so it's important that as an organization like myself and others, that we're thinking about how can we shift maybe our program and the things that we do to really meet the needs of what they're saying that they need.
Mm. So what are some of the e-learning options for parents and students?
So some of the e-learning options that we provide personally is one-on-one customized instruction for the families. And so a lot of the kids that we get, we did a summer intensive program where I was able to raise a good portion of that money, if not all, so that it was able to be offered for free. And so, but we were able to give each child that came in their own personal tutor that was going to be focusing on their deficits. And so a lot of our kids, they may be in eighth grade, but they're reading like a fourth grade level, right? So for me to say this is a tutoring program for eighth graders, it's not going to help them if it's on that level. We have to work up to that. And so really providing families with a resource that's going to meet their child where they're at, but yet push them so they can get on level, because that's where the opportunities are. We also have very reasonable pricing. And so working with families when it comes to payment plans and all of those different things to make sure they're able to afford it. But then we also make sure that we do it as a team. So we're not just customizing these lessons and, hey, everyone gets the same lesson. We're talking to the family, we're talking to the teachers, and we're really coming together with what's the best plan for this child so that they're able to see that they have a support system around them. So I really take education as being a whole team effort and not just, hey, let me bring you this program that's going to help your child do better.
So you really, as a teacher, obviously your students have to like you and the parents too.
Yeah.
But you really, you've moved beyond the classroom, and you know there are, you know, other avenues. And then you know that because of your capacity, you have to go and bring more of yourself to people, because this burst in the books, you want to help a lot of people. You want to go beyond the school building and beyond the classroom. You really want to really help a whole city. You want to be like a Marva Collins, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Marva Collins 2.0, yes.
Yeah, I hear that in you. Yeah, you want to be like the Secretary of Education for the United States of America.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Hey, there's no, no sense shooting low. Might as well go for the high thing. So, yeah, I feel your energy. So you also understand and believe strongly that if you teach a child and show them and give them a love for books, that they'll respond.
They will. You know, and I think a lot of it is, well, we have this idea that kids do not like to read. It's all about how you're approaching what reading is for. Right. And so I'm really big about, even when I teach, like, what's the why? Like, just as an adult, you don't want to try anything new unless you know, how is it going to benefit me? How is it going to be an asset to me? How is it a tool I can use? And so really allowing kids to see, like, this is a life skill. This isn't just about homework. This isn't about this book report. This is about you being able to negotiate that contract and you understand what you're reading. This is about you seeing outside of your neighborhood. Like, you read this book and it's going to help you aspire to want to travel, to want to see these other spaces. And then we are really building on our program of that. Guess what? It might be a book out here that you feel like all of them are boring. I don't like them. Well, then that means you're supposed to write that book. So just giving them the tools and exposing them to enough people who are in the field and doing this work so that they can also see how they can craft their own. And seeing that these individuals who are authors and poets, they're just like you. They're just out here telling their story. And so giving them an opportunity to tell their stories as well. So I really just believe it's about, how are you showing, what are you telling people, the, or even adults and children, what's the purpose of reading? Reading is not just so that you can be able to, you know, get an A on a test. It's about so that you can thrive.
Well, look, I would much rather they have Jerima Gorham and burst in the books to be filling the head, because, you know, if a container is not full to the top, it's still room for something to get in. Mm-hmm. And I would much rather Cardi B not be, you know, filling up that container for these young girls and boys, because it's not going to be fruitful in the long run. I would rather they work with you and get a love for books. Now, tell us about the virtual book club that starts in September.
Yes. So we are going into our third year with our book club. Because of everything with COVID, we're going to switch it to be virtual this year. And so it starts September 19th. We meet every third Saturday of the month. It'll be all virtual this year, but it's going to still have the same feel and components that we've always had. So every book club, we start at ages 6 months, all the way to teens. The first group, of course, is with parents. But for each book club, we have a guest author. They have a focus book that they focus on for that setting. We have interactive activities. And so we're going to make sure that each family that registered gets like a bin with the craft and with the different activities, so that when they're doing it online, everyone has access to those materials. And then we also give them a chance to do like a question and answer with their guest author. And so it's been really cool the last few years, because if a child stays with us from September to June, they're going to meet at least 10 authors or publishers or editors who are in the field that can really share with their story and how they were able to create their books. And a lot of times the focus book of the month is the book that the author wrote. So they're able to question them and ask them what was their thinking behind it. And so, this year it's going to be $10. That $10 again covers the cost for the materials and all those great things, but they still will have access to the authors, to the books, and to the activities for the month.
So look at this. So you have a building you just purchased in the Roseland neighborhood, and you have these programs. And obviously you have, students that come to the program and parents who are involved. So how do you fund this? How do you make money doing this and take care of all your expenses?
Yeah, a lot of it has been at this point donations, and we have sponsors for a lot of our events. We are currently, during this time, been applying for a lot of grants and funding. So most of the programming, though, has been definitely grassroots. So donations, and then, of course, early on starting a business, personal. But we're growing into a place where the more our name is getting out there, we're getting more funding from grants. Like, we got a grant this past summer, and we're just continuing to get those services. But I believe that the services that we're giving to these families should not be an arm and a leg. They're already in a situation in which that is a strike against them, right, financially. And so I don't want you to have to choose between your child getting tutoring and if they're going to eat dinner for the rest of the week. And so we definitely are always looking for funders and sponsorship, but right now it's been mostly donations.
So you're a nonprofit?
Yes.
Very good. So everybody, you need to be donating to Burst Into Books.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Jerea, huh?
I was saying yes, I'm in agreement.
Yeah. And Jerima Gorham, because this is what we say we need. And bigger than that, we need people like you, Jerima, because children, especially those who are disenfranchised to a great degree and underserved communities, really need the heart of a teacher and professionals. I think one of my biggest issues with, you know, teaching in urban areas is you have too many teachers who don't even like kids.
Yep.
And so how are you going to pour into them something that is going to be, you know, impactful to them, and you have no passion about it because you really don't even like it. It's just something you do every day.
Exactly. You and know, the kids know it, and you're not going to do nothing for somebody that don't like you. So
that's it. Obviously, you're not that person. You're in the classroom, and you have found your way into the streets.
Yes.
And to the streets nobody wants to walk down, by the way, I would say. You know, so you got to be passionate about it. So tell everybody how they can connect with you, donate to you, and support you.
Yes, you can visit our website, www.burstintobooks.org. We have a mailing list that you can join. You can also follow us on all social media handles. We are on Instagram, Burst Into Books, and also we are on Facebook in Burst Into Books. And again, if you go to our website, there is a tab for giving. It'll lay out where all those funds will go to. And we would love to connect with you either through funding or through coming out to one of our programs.
All right. Been my pleasure to have you on the AC Green Show podcast. Jerima Gorham, everybody. Make sure you connect with her. All right, Jerima, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
A great conversation with Jerima Gorham. Yeah, Burst Into Books. Check her out, everybody. Hey, don't forget, we're giving away $3,000, the radio show is. You have to be subscribed to our YouTube channel, the official AC Green Show on YouTube. And then you have to ring the bell when you subscribe to the YouTube channel, because that's how you'll know that we went live with the contest question. And that's going to happen at the end of the month of August. So you want to make sure that you get a chance to win some of that cash. And go to the website, too, and join our community, theacgreenshow.com, theacgreenshow.com, and join our community over there so that you can be all in and we know how to contact you if when you win. All right, more great podcasts coming up. Check back every day. We have other past podcasts. Check those out. And don't forget, great Good Morning Motivational videos at the YouTube channel. Get to the YouTube channel, the official AC Green Show on YouTube, the official AC Green Show on YouTube. All right, everybody, until next time, be well.